now, cover some ground. By the time everybody gets back tomorrow, they'll miss half the park. No, I'm kidding. But so let's. We were up to Ula Fuke. All right, Adin, can I impose upon you?
Ula Fuke, Drikud
Rav Chisda. Okay, anyway. Ula Fuke, you go back and read Rav Chisda. Read Rav Chisda, okay. Amar Rav Chisda.
Amar Rav Chisda, Komodim, Vival Hagida, Shemashal and Benas. Lamanda Amar Yesh Bahavaya, Hanani Yesh Bahavaya. Lamanda Amar Ruyala Kaima, Hanani Ruyala Kaima.
Right, you need to read that line first because it could or might not be connected to the next line. It's Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. So Anida, if a person raped or seduced Anida, even though there's an Isser Lav and there's Kares, nonetheless, Kiddushin or Tosin, she's Ru'i L'Kaima, there's no Isser in the potential marriage, and therefore there is Knas.
Isn't there an opinion that Kiddushin aren't Tofes if she's...
No, there is a discussion about Chupas Nida, whether it's Kona or not, but I do not believe that anybody says that Kiddushin not Tosin by Anida. It's not just that an Ishus Ish remains an Ishus Ish when she becomes Anida. As I said, that would be the huge loophole, as I jokingly say, for that Guna problem. Forget becoming a Sota, just become Anida. And then she's not Ishus Ish anymore. Obviously she is. And but it's true even when they weren't. In the same way that Tosis claims that a Sota, who her husband divorces and is Bekadisher again, the Kiddushin are Tosin, even for Rabbi Akiva, in the same way as Yusha Tosin for Anita. So what's La Fuke May Rabbi Nechunya Ben Hakana?
So either the Mishnah or...
The Mishnah that lists the Chai Ve'Kresos and has, Achoso, Achosav, Achosim, Achosishto, Eishasach, Eishasach, Enida. Now, Abaye just mentioned Nida, and so, and Abaye, Rav Chisda just mentioned Nida, and Lafuke, either the Mishnah or Rav Chisda's statement, is Lafuke Rav Nechunya ben Akana. Okay? In other words, Rav Nechunya ben Akana, right? The truth is, Hakol Modim doesn't make sense to be followed by Lafuke. Technically Lapuke, but we'll ignore that. Right? It's Anpuke, it's an assimilated Nun. It doesn't make sense so much. It's hard. Rashi says, "Ula puke" is the Mishnah. That's probably why Rashi says it, because you don't say "Hakol modim ula puke." The point is "Hakol modim." Everybody admits "Ula puke" is in the Mishnah, which says that Chayav Kares. It's a new topic.
It also doesn't make sense to ask "Man hakol modim." I think Mar does that
plenty. No, "Man hakol modim" is who would we have thought wasn't modim but is modim. But "Hakol modim" doesn't imply that somebody disagrees. Necessarily, you normally don't. Normally, doesn't work.
Right? Tosis
raises. Rabbi Yeshua
disagrees with some of the.
Well, no, Rabbi Yeshua wouldn't. In other words, Hakol Modim was for a particular reason, and Rabbi Yeshua doesn't, necessarily concede that reason. You don't know that he necessarily argues either. Right. In other words, the point of their Tosis is there wouldn't have been a chiddush for Rabbi Yeshua. It wouldn't have been a chiddush. Because he has cases where Kiddusha and Tosin still the lots not amounts. It doesn't mean he doesn't agree. It just means that's not who the Gemara was coming to inform us that we would have thought otherwise. Okay. So let's just say, Rashi, for the moment, that the Mishnah is La Fuke, M'chun Ben Akana. And what is M'chun Ben Akana's position?
Tanya M'chun Ben Akana, Haya Ose Jim HaKippurim Kishabat L'Tashlumin. Masha M'chayev Benafsho Upadr Min HaTashlumin, Ach Yom HaKippurim M'chayev Benafsho Upadr Min HaTashlumin.
Okay, so Nechunya ben Akana says that Shabbat, Yom Kippur has the same din as Shabbat. Even though Yom Kippur, there is no Misa space, then Yom Kippur, the punishment is only a lav and kares. But nonetheless, it has the same din as Shabbat. So Nechunya ben Akana is not he's a famous personality. He's not quoted a whole lot in Shas when it comes to halach, as far as I can tell. Right, he's the one with the tefillah entering the base medrash. He's the one who's supposed to have on a bekoach or something like that. Isn't that attributed to him somehow? But he's not a very common tradent, as we would say in the world of the academy. But he is known for this. What probably his most famous shita is probably this, which is that kares you say kamlein rav minim. Okay. Continue. So that's the question. What is the basis of the Shita? There's another question to be asked, which the Gemara doesn't really answer. Why? We can ask the principal generally, why do we say come like the Rav Amina? It's a Xeris HaKasav. So why? So at least we understand sort of a rationale from a judicial perspective that the Beis Din administers one punishment.
So we said it there, but you get multiple sets of malchus for one action.
So we might say that there's a different, and you can pay lots of different monetary things for different kinds of damages done at the same time. The only reason you don't get two death penalties is because you can't kill a person twice. So there isn't a, you know, so it seems that it's not about Beis Din can't be excessively cruel. It's just if Beis Din operates in certain modes, you know, and once a person has received, in other words, you might even say that that 80 malchus, 40 malchus, it's all the same. Just a slight, you know, and money is the same thing. But different categories of punishments fundamentally reflect punishing a person twice on a certain level, and that we don't want to do, it seems. So it seems. That, you know, is the sort of initially jumps, you know, comes to mind. Of course, what it doesn't explain is a lot of different things about Kol Moed Rav Amina. Number one, why would you say it according to Rav Nachunya ben Hakana? Okay, so the answer might be, well, we don't. Rav Nachunya might have different svara. There's another problem. We're going to discuss, and this is a little bit of an introduction generally to what we're dealing with. There's a question of Misa Lezeh, Nefashos Lezeh, Mamon Lezeh, whatever that means. What if there are two different parties involved somehow? And the Misa part's a little odd, because it's not clear who the party is involved. When you're Chai Misa, to whom are you Chai Misa? Right? In American law, when you have a civil trial, you have a plaintiff and a defendant. When you have a criminal trial, what is it?
It's
the state. Were you a mock trial person, Shlain?
I was not.
You were not?
I was.
You was. You were.
My year as a lawyer was a civil case, though.
Where did you go to high school?
Fritch.
So I thought, did they have a mock trial team?
Yeah.
Not as good as TBC's mock trial.
No, we lost TBC in the semifinals my senior year.
Okay. You lost the TBC what?
You lost TBC in the semifinals.
Semifinals.
Like,
yes, semifinals.
I still think we should have won.
Okay. The whole thing is a rigged thing. I watched the judges one time I went. But okay, fine. Doesn't quite make any sense. But anyway, be that as it may, but it's cool going to the courthouse.
Yes.
Not as a defendant or for jury duty. So the question is why. So it's the state versus the state versus the defendant. And that's not the way the halacha views it. The halacha, if anything, it's the eidim versus the defendant, whatever that means. But it's not clear what does it mean to fashas lezeh, mamon lezeh. There's a long tosis about this on daf lamed amud beis at the bottom, the one going over to lamed aleph, amud aleph. So we'll eventually deal with that. Another, the most puzzling aspect of it, which again is based upon xeris hakasav, is what happens if you don't get the punishment. Let's say you don't get the Mises based in today.
Still.
You're still potter. Right? That's the Hekesh, that's Tana the Bechiskiya. Right? Make Adam, Make Behema. Make Behema, Lochilakta Bo, Bain, Shogeg Lameza, Bain, Yonos Laratzom, Bain, whatever, that Lepotra Mom, Lachaiva Mom, so too, Make Adam, so Lo, Wachilakta, you know, Bain, Meza, the Shogeg, and Yonos Laratzom, and whatever else. Le chayvo mamon ala le potro mamon. Right? So in those all cases that involve potential mises based in, we employ the principle of kamlei with rabba mine. So it's not entirely clear at all. And look, it may be you could argue the principle we argued, I'm not convinced, but that's the basic principle. And then there are details that don't necessarily fit the pattern. The alternative explanation, but it's not always going to work, is the again, it's very, very hard to explain it this way, but if you do an Aveira, so part of the function of the punishment is kapara, and it doesn't really matter whether you got the onesh or not, the mamon, let's say, is not a sufficient kapara, you know, for your Aveira, which involved mises based.
That doesn't mean why you wouldn't both. I mean, that would be an answer for why we choose, if you can only do one punishment, we choose Nisa instead of Mammon, but...
Yes, except if you think about by Edom Zomim, the principles, why don't we kill Edom Zomim who killed already? What's the svara behind it? The answer is it's an insufficient kapar. So what? Okay, but at least give him something. We potted them totally. The problem with that is that Mammon is generally not a kapara.
Yeah.
Mammon is compensation. Mis is a kapara. Mammon's compensation. It's very... Maybe we'll encounter something that will explain it, but I don't know how often it comes up. It's a major traditional principle, and it obviously occupies a lot of space on the blot, and I'm sure that the amount of lumness that's been said on it, you know, is arucha miniyam, but one does wonder what exactly is the core behind the principle.
Could it be that
by the way, pshuto, step back for a second. What's pshuto shemikra? I think pshuto shemikra is that you don't pay money in the case when there's an ason. I think that's correct. As you could have argued, pshuto shemikra is not that way. Right? The makar is again by the pregnant woman, and v'mason yevan asatan nefesh tachas nefesh. It doesn't say you don't pay money, but pshuto shemikra probably is you don't pay money. So why don't you pay money there? So Pashto says that's not because of kamei with the rabba minei. Well, I mean, you know, the reason why you don't pay mammon there. Well, I mean, you could pay mammon on the vladus, but you kill the woman, so basically you have.
Are you going to pay mammon too?
But you could have paid mammon for the vladus in theory.
Who to?
The father. He's the one you pay to when you don't kill the mother, right? So the reason why you don't, so it could be there. That could be scripture xeris akasa that whenever there's murder involved, you can't have a monetary payment. It's a little bit of a stretch. The monetary payment wouldn't be as atonement for killing the mother, it would be for killing the vados, but the way you might understand it is that if uber is yerach ima, which is the pshat and the psukim, that there's not murder killing the fetuses, so once you killed the mother, so the fetuses were just one of her limbs. It's not viewed as an economic loss at all, and there can't be any monetary payment because there's no monetary payment as a ransom for killing someone, because that's one of the most basic principles of biblical law. But anyway, the pshat is certainly there is no monetary payment. And Chazal understood that as this idea that when there's a misa and there's a mammon, you don't pay. And to make it right, of course, there's another problem with that, which is how do you read v'nasata nefesh tachas nefesh? It's machlokas hatanoim. And Rebbe Shita is it's mammon. That niskaven lahara gazeh v'hara gazeh is pata from misa space, then you have to pay money. That's what I think it's Rabbi's opinion. So if you want to see, it's quoted, I'm sure it's in Sanhedrin, it's in Chagiga, they just passed it in Daf last week, Chaim. Here he couldn't say he didn't do it. When dinim are mikra, meruba, and miur halachos, so they wanted to know what was dinim. So they said that neskav and harik zevar hazeh, according to Rabbi. Did you pay mammon? No, satan nefesh tachas nefesh. What's that?
It's a really good
stuff. Okay, so that would under. I don't think the Gemara even asked that kasha. According to Rebbe, you don't know what's the makar for kamei with the rabba minei. All right. Anyway, Adin.
So maybe Rebbe Shita on the run. Just one thing that we mentioned during Seder is maybe it's an extension of this with the biblical law that we see in intro that the Torah doesn't want to mix. Monetary payment and that monetary payment is so insignificant and irrelevant that there's no way that paying you will accomplish.
That's
anything.
Another way. I mean, I didn't say it quite that way, but you could say it that way. In other words, the principle is the same thing as I was suggesting that you were saying also. The other piece, one of the things that I wonder about in this, but it's not the same thing, is what you know what the din of lav shenita las haras misas beis din is. It's machlokas, but we, I think, assume that if a lav, let's say a person is mechalal Shabbos, and the Edom warn him, but tell him that he's going to get malchus. Edom don't know that you chayv skila. So obviously he can't get skila because he didn't have hasra. But he has hasra for malchus, and doing malach on Shabbos is a lav. So can you give him malchus or not? So it's a machlokas atanoim. I want to say the Gemara attributes it as a machlokas, Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Akiva. So what is if we hold that lav shenita las haras misas beis din, you don't get malchus, why not? So you could say firstly it has to be how do you know what lav and get malchus? What is the criteria of a los aseh gets malchus? How do you know? What's the makar? No.
Sorry.
Lav de chasima. Losachsom Sharbadisho, which follows the parish of Malkus. Based upon that, we learn all the rules of what's Chayav Malkus. That's why the usual four rules we give is that it can't be a lav anitaklase, and it has to be a lav shesh b'maisa, and it has to be a lav which is formulated as a lav, not a lav b'machalase, and it has to be this is the fourth thing. I don't remember the fourth one. But you could say the same thing is true for lav shenita and lasaras misa spaisden, right? That the lav de chasima is not a lav shenita and lasaras. What's that? Sheish b'maisa, eino nita klase. It has to be formulated as a lav, not a lav haba mechlalase. El can't be a lav shebechlalas, and whatever lav shebechlalas is. A lav that has too many subcategories in it, let's put it that way. Too many different things lumped, disparate things lumped under it. So you could say also lav shenita and lasaras misa spaisden in it. Now, the only difference is that all the other things weaken the severity of the lav. This strengthens the severity of the lav if it's nita and lasaras misa spaisden. You're just not getting the misa spaisden. But I assume what the shita means is that because the avera is so great, it's basically mufka from the parasha malchus and you only get misa spaisden. That's all you can get. Again, maybe along the lines of atonement or whatever else. Okay, I don't know. But anyway, so Rav Nechunya's question is a sort of a step further on that. If you say that it doesn't apply by Kares, it's no longer a judicial principle. It's something else. It pushes it, by the way, more in the direction if you want to argue of Kapara. But I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure. Yes, Dan, you want to say something?
We have one more suggestion to say there, and it's not particularly compelling, but it explains the machloket, I think, decently, that it might be about that if Kamalei B'Dirat Minei is if the punishments are method of deterrence from committing the crime, again, it really doesn't work particularly well for Tashlimin, for money of Tashlimin, but for, you know, you could say, you know, in one sense that, like, if the fact that you're paying back is, like, self-incentive for you not to commit the crime, then for Nichonim Ben Akana, Karis is a sufficient enough deterrent to not have to
couple
along that malchus with it.
Okay. Fine. Anybody else think about the question? Because it's a question you should think about. We're not always accustomed. The base medrash doesn't always train you to ask the why.
Well, I don't mean, the Gemara also often refers to the din of Hirami as Tachi Bo'adino.
Yeah, but why? Is that like, you know, the halakhic version of double jeopardy? No, I'm serious.
I'm supporting the point that it's based in the two punishments that it's got.
I agree, but that's a fact. We know the question is why.
No, you know, why is because Beis Din can't do two punishments. Then you have all these other issues like Chaimus Sherry.
Why can't Beis Din give two punishments? You know, and that's not a why. That's just the description of the judicial principle. I agree. And I can formulate. Why should that be? Why, if you did something that, you know, especially if you damage somebody in the process of doing a stamina aver, other than the damage itself, why should I be exempt? For a moment, put yourself in the shoes of the person who was damaged. It's like, you're furious.
I burned down your gedish, and since I...
Your house, make it worthwhile on Shabbos, yeah. At least. Okay, you're going to get chayim misa and karis, whatever it is, at least make it worthwhile. That, you know, burn down a whole building or something like that, you know. Fine. Okay, so anyway, so our Mishnah is against Rav Nechunya ben Akana. Tosfos has a discussion about Hakol Mod Debebal and Nidah Shalim Knas. At the end, is how do you know that the Mishnah really is against Rav Nechunya ben Akana? He suggests maybe Rav Nechunya ben Akana is Marbeh. Maybe he's Marbeh. He would have potted because of Kamei Rabbanei, but because of the Gzeres HaKasav of the extra Ribuyim that Rav Papa and Reish Lakish have, maybe he's Marbeh Chavei Krisus. And the answer that Tosfos gives is that he couldn't do that because if he had done that, he would have included Chayv Misa Spaisden as well. And that the Mishnah distinguishes clearly between Karis and Misa Spaisden. For Rav Nechunya, it would make no sense. If you hold that, you say Kamlei Rabbanei by Krisus, and you have a Riboy that you don't say Kamlei Rabbanei by Knas, by Krisus, that Riboy should also go for Misa Spaisden, that you don't say Kamlei Rabbanei. So therefore, he obviously doesn't have a Riboy, he would just say that you're Potter. I mean, he certainly can't be the Mishnah, one way or the other, Manav Shach. Either he holds that you never say Kamlei Rabbanei by Knas, or he holds that you always say Kamlei Rabbanei by Knas by his Karis and Misa Spaisden, and that doesn't fit with the Mishnah, which distinguishes between Karis and Misa Spaisden. Okay. And no questions at that. Let's move on.
Well, how much in Tosfos is when Tosfos quotes the Rashi, when Tosfos quotes the Rashi who says
the Rashmi Shantz.
Rashmi Shantz? Okay.
Yes, that is the Rashmi Shantz. Okay. Rab Shimshon ben Avraham. One of the great Baalei HaTosfot.
Okay.
Was that the question or
No. So the question is how close is the connection between Nisas Beis Din and Karius that he
The din of Kamlei
is phrased very broadly.
The din of Kamlei B'Rabamine is on the basis of the fact that the Torah says in Ason Yevan Asatan Avashtachas Nafesh, and you define Ason broadly.
Okay.
You could say, I don't know if this is really even so much a Gzeira Shava.
But his answer at the end is predicated on the fact that they must be totally identical.
It's funny, a couple of guys not in the shir were asking me this question during Seder. The answer to the question is yes, with respect to Kamlei B'Rabbanei, they must be the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like what the Rashba is.
It's extremely broadly.
There's a very strong, the Ein Chiluk Bein Chari Yudas Chari Mitzvos Beis Din.
That means for the purpose Rabbah's is much broader actually than Abaye's is, because Abaye's is simply be defining what Ason means in the Pasuk of Mishpatim. Okay.
Where's Rabbah's?
Rabbah's on Amid Beis. Ravis is based upon Halemi Alimu Amar to say Nehim and Shahu, Visitomi Zimizara Lamoloch, and Asatanius Panebe Shahu and Shato, Vichrati or so, Avis calls an Acharav, Avis call Hazonam Acharav, something, Mikarev Hamam, I'm missing a word in there, Acharamolach or something, Mikarev Hamam. There's a pasuk on the side, that's why they have the Yemish Prinner Mitzvah.
There's no
Sacharam, we'll be careful, okay. Fine. So now the Gemara continues. Go ahead, Adin.
My time during the Mekudim in Yakana Amar Abai Ne'emar Ason Bidei Adam Ne'emar Ason Bidei Shamayim Ma Ason Ha'amor Bidei Adam Patur Minat Hashlumin Afason Amor. Did I read it already? Afason Adin Afason Amor Bidei Shamayim Patur Minat Hashlumin.
Okay. So just as the Ason, which is Bidei Adam, we say Kamlei Rabbanei. So to the Ason, which is Bidei Shamayim, we say Kamlei Rabbanei. And the way I would think the pshat is, the Gemara phrased it a little funny, but I would say it means that the Ason in Parashas Mishpatim is an inclusive Ason. It includes not only the Ason of that case, but whatever else would be considered Ason. Okay. So now, Maskiflo
of Adam or Ahava,
how do you know when the Torah warns when Yaakov warns them that he's warning them about something that's to be the Shemayim, namely Tzinim Pachim, we'll talk about that in a moment.
Dilma,
maybe it's talking about things that are Bidei Adam. So the rest of the Gemara is just working out the details. The fundamental answer is Atu.
Atu Yaakov Aha Azher Aha Lo Azher.
Yeah, I'll call me the Azher. Fine. The rest of it is working out the details. We'll read it. We'll talk about it. A couple of interesting toasts that maybe we have a little time today to do, which maybe I wouldn't have done otherwise. Apparently that Ason that Yaakov is talking about is Bidei Shamayim. So, the truth is, the Pshutan Shal Dvarim is not the way the Gemara handles it in its discussion. What kind of Ason was going to happen to Binyamin?
You think we keep him also?
That doesn't seem to be the Havamin in the Gemara at all.
Oh, in Pshutan Shal Mikra and Gracious?
No. No, not Yosef would keep him. Yeah, he's going to die. He's going to die. So, the Gemara's question is an odd question. How do you know it's Tzinim Pacha? Maybe it's Arya Vaganve. Is Arya Vaganve Bidei Shemayim or Bidei Adam? In the flow of the Gemara, it's bidei adam. That was the Gemara's kasha. Right? Right? If a person... Yes. Then that's a product of Shemayim, we assume.
No, but Ganda is meaning Bidei Adam, meaning
how much agency
comes from man.
No, but it's odds of you getting attacked by versus the guy behind you getting attacked by it. It's not, there's no reason why it's you versus the other guy. It's like...
through the hands of humans. Which is like, it's literally the words of Bidei Adam.
That's not what's being used here for. I mean, you could try that. But lust of the lion is...
Lions are more aggressive. But then I can also mention why Garbe is Bidei Shemayim and you must come. That's also, like you said, it's just the way you look at it.
So, okay, I'll agree with Ganve, but Arye is hard. Okay. But it's more than that. The people who are responsible for the Ason, in Mishpatim, are the ones doing the killing. The people responsible for the Ason here, it's all Bidei Shemayim with respect to them. In other words, the Ganvei is Bidei Shemayim also. The Ganvei for themselves are killing someone. When a person is killed by Ganavim, that's Bidei Shemayim from his vantage point.
Rashi says here that it is the Ason that Abaye trained the Ason as the Mises based in, not the Mises Isha. Which
makes the question worse. That's what's been bothering me. In other words...
Then man is killing him, meaning somebody pushes him off a cliff and then there's a rock on him. That's a human. Just like Ganavim would come and...
Okay, but in the end, Sinim Pachim and Ganve and Arye for sure are not.
Well, again, Arye is a much bigger issue.
So I read the Gemara the way Rashi's talking about Ason, because remember what's happening here is we're saying Ason Bidei Adam is Mises Beisdin, Ason Bidei Shemayim is Kares, but all the things in that list are the ways that God kills you. There's Beisdin doesn't do it. Arye, Ganve, Tzin, and Pachim. That's what I would assume. That I would have said those are all called Bidei Shemayim. None of them are Bidei Adam. So apparently that, I don't know why Rashi says it this way, because I would say when Rashi says Ason Bidei Adam, it means Legabe Mises Beisdin. The Ason, I mean, in the Pshat and the Pasuk, the Ason isn't the Mises Beisdin. The Ason is the guy who killed him. And their Ganve at least fits that. But you go a step further. What does it mean to be Bidei Adam in this Gemara? It means that you're responsible. Not that you killed yourself actively or killed someone actively, but you could have prevented it. If you could have prevented it, then it's Bidei Adam. If it's unpreventable, there's nothing you can do to prevent it, that's called Bidei Shemayim. That's the way it works out in the Gemara. Now, the Gemara now is going to... So that's what the Gemara says. Yaakov warned about all kind of... I don't want to say asonos. Asonim, or something like that. And therefore, the pshat would just be that ason could be any variety. It doesn't have to be Bidei Adam. It could be Bidei Shemayim as well. Fine. Now, what are Tzinim Pachim? Tzinim and Pachim. So firstly, what does the Pasuk say in Mishlei?
Tzinim Pachim.
Keish, Shomer Nafsho Yuchak Mehem. Can someone translate that Pasuk for me, please?
Ice or cold things and coals are obstacles in the path.
Say this again. Translate Tzinim Pachim.
Oh, I mean, it's weird because you think the Pachim would be Tzinim Upachim if they were actually cold.
Yeah, so you look at all the Mefarshim, including Rashi. Yeah. When is Tzinim Pachim B'derech Inkeish? Tosus, by the way, is a hap. I mean, maybe it only refers to cold. The Pachim doesn't refer to that. Maybe Pachim means are a snare, which is what Pachim means. What is the pshat? It means, and what are tzinim? No, with the exception of the Rabag, who suggests Lashon Tzina, I think, something cold. All of them, the Farshim say, Litzninim
b'tzideichem.
Thorns. Thorns are snares, are traps in the crooked person's path. Shomer nafsho yirchak mehem. And derech ikesh is ambiguous. It could be the path of the crooked one, or it could be the crooked path. But I assume it's the path of a crooked person. So that's pshat in the pasuk. That is pshat. However, it's not the way Chazal read it. How did they read it?
Cold.
Yeah, how does pachim get to be hot things? There are a couple of possibilities here. What? The word, Berkowitz. Number one, the word looks like pecham.
Yeah.
Number two, I do wonder whether or not, isn't there an Arabic vav which is like a fa? Does anybody here take Arabic? Does anybody know Arabic? Why not? Somebody?
I don't know Hebrew so well.
You're not supposed to say that I'd take Chaim. So if you read this fa as this, I think as an Arabic, I don't know what its usage is, as then you're left with chom, really. Okay, I don't know what they're thinking. Maybe more likely pecham is the thing. Rashi says karva chom, but it's not clear what does pacham get to mean. And pach is a trap. Right? Pachad vafachad. Pachad vafachas vafach, alecha yosheva aretz. Right, from Yirmiyahu. A pach is a snare. A pachas is also a snare, like a trap or something. Some one of them is probably a hole in the ground that you get your foot stuck in. So anyway, Tosis at the end of that points out that the Gemara clearly doesn't interpret that way elsewhere. It's clear that Tzinim Pachim also contains a reference to heat, but it's not Pshuto Shemekra. Fine. So now the Gemara wants to know at the end. Go ahead. Nabi Deshamayim means you have absolutely no control. Rashi says, "In Bo'im Peronus Al Adam Exeres HaMelachu." Right?
V'hatanya Hakol Bidei Shamayim Chutz Mitzinim Pachim. Shneimar Tzinim Pachim Baderech Ikeish Shemayin Asher Yirchak Mehem.
Okay. So the suggestion is that people have no control over the things that happen to them, things that befall them, except for Tzinim Pachim. That they have control, because Shemayin Asher Yirchak Mehem. That's question number one. Question number
two.
Afal pisha batlu Sanhedrin, even though there's no Sanhedrin. Nonetheless, Mises based and still exists. The Gemara says, what?
Lo batlu? Ha batlu? What do you mean?
Of course they're batel.
Ella, din arba mito, lo batlu.
In other words, if what happens to a person violated an aver sheyosh b'mish b'mishis based in, he gets the misa anyway. How so?
Mishit chayv sila onofel min hagag ochaya dorasto. Mishit chayv sreifa onofel bedleika onachash machisho. Mishit chayv hariga.
Why? Because the eris of a nachash burns. Okay.
O nimsar lamalchut o listim ba'in alav.
And if you nimsar lamalchut by hariga, you probably get hariga exactly. Right, because what is hereg?
Decapitation.
Chotchens rosho be sayaf kederech shehamalchus osa. That's the whole and that's the whole, starts the whole discussion of chukos agoyim.
Is that part of the din? For example, like if they invented the geisha earlier, would you use the geisha?
No. The shaila is why are we allowed to do it? Is it not chukos agoyim? Is what the Gemara
is.
No. That's just an empirical description. Okay. Okay, fine. So, Rashi says Srinaki is askara, which is some type of pulmonary disease, it sounds like.
Well, that's because our school translates as diphtheria and Rashi on the fourth day of which is Wednesday
to
be
dominant
for the children. Askara. You should get Askara, yeah.
What in God's name is diphtheria? Isn't it a bacterial illness?
I thought so.
But what is it? What are its symptoms?
I don't know. We get a vaccine for it.
I know. That's DDT.
Right.
Not DDT. The DPT.
Oh, I was like, not sure.
What's that?
I'm not sure.
Okay. So anyway, So you see what? That if a lion eats a person, that's an onesh bidei shamayim.
It's an upper respiratory illness.
So. That makes sense.
Okay.
Can't breathe anymore.
Fine. So then the Gemara says, Ela. Fine. So that's what Abaye explains it. And therefore, what is the what type of bidei shamayim is there, as the Gemara is going to say? Any onesh bidei shamayim. And there are two onshim bidei shamayim in terms of death, which are kares and misa bidei shamayim. What's the difference between the two? It sounds like one point the Gemara might be different ages. There's a Bryce and Roy Katan, I think, that talks about this, or Mesechus Machos. There's also a possibility that kares involves ariri, no childless or children dying if he had children initially. Whereas misa bidei shamayim is just the person himself. Whatever it is, we don't know exactly. Okay, yeah.
That's not exactly what you said. It was more relevant when we were trying to flesh out the deterrence. So yeah, the Chazal view kares as something that would, if you did something that was chayav kares, that whatever kares was would happen to you without fail every time. That if I ate on Yom Kippur, that whatever the definition of kares is, that would for sure happen to me.
If you believe that, then you would be then you would be forced to abandon Judaism.
Yeah.
Tosus asked the kasha. Believe it or not, it's an unbelievable. The question is unbelievable. You're talking about like one of the major theological questions that you have to ask, and it's like it's a kasha Tosus asks. Tosfos in short form here, it's much longer in Sanhedrin. Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. Top Tosfos and Lamed Amud Beis. Tosfos, the first, last wide line on top, the fourth line. Avokosha. Dechazino kama avaryonim v'ovde avodas kochavim shemesem amitosam. Basically, Rasha v'tovlo. It's the kasha. It's a simple question, right? So if you need to know the answer to the question, just look, Tosus gives the answer to the question.
Wait, can we only ask because it's a steer in the Gemara?
What's that?
He only asked the question because it's a steer in the Gemara. He doesn't care about, like, theologically.
He's
just like,
oh,
the Gemara says it.
It's a steer to psukim. And yes, the Gemara says, the Torah says you get kares, and Mises based it. And the Gemara says, right, that, and Tosus says, avar yanim also, not just ovdei v'las kocham. Which basically means that kares is not an unconditional punishment. It might not be balam hazeh, it might be balam haba. Right? Rashi comments, quoting Chazal, he kares and nefesh shehavan ova, that balam hazeh and balam haba. If you look in Tosus in Sanhedrin, on Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, Tosa says similarly there. V'im tomar v'hachazinan kama kofrim be'ikar the mesim kedarkam. V'yishlomar the way the Girsa reads it, dischus mila tola uschar mitzush asu mishtal min bolam hazeh uchasiv mishal in the sonav. Right. Okay. That's the olam haba answer. The Olam Haba answer. What's that? What's the?
There's a
Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Yeah, but how does that relate to this? He didn't Oilim Omar Oilim Lo Omar. But I'm trying to. I knew that, but I'm trying to understand how you see that is related to this.
Not like.
It's a great Gemara. I love that Gemara, but okay. Anyway, so if you take a look back, so in Tosfos, Hakobi de Shemaim Chutz Mitzin and Pachim. Didn't you look at Tosfos? Okay, so I'll read. If nobody looked at it, I'll read it quickly. You see, a person can prevent bad things from happening. So, Right? In other words, if you want to kill yourself, that's clear, you can do that. There's no question about that. That's not bidei shamayim. But the ability to prevent everything, that is not in your hands. That is not in your hands. There are things you can do that make it less likely, but it doesn't ultimately prevent it. So v'im tomar, Tosfos asks the question: v'hadarshin and v'esir Hashem imcha kol choli zetzina almod b'dibei shemayim hi. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to remove it from you, then it means that it's b'dibei shemayim. V'yishlomer d'ahenu sheyachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu olamo o yitein lo mabushim v'lo yitzdarach lizor. In other words, God can make it easier for you to guard yourself from it, but at the end of the day, even if God doesn't make it easier for you, you can still guard yourself from it. V'im tomar v'apachem b'dibei shemayim is pachem is heat. Really, in the hands of he's asking, I think, isn't heat in the hands of heaven? Kedamina beberachus rabba bepara parshat tesvav. It's one of the beautiful Rebbe Antoninus exchanges. Amar le Rebbe la Anton, Amar Antoninus la Rebbe tzali alai. Pray for me. Amar le rachbanah shezavach mitzinasa. May God save you from cold. Amar le dats lusa. That's a prayer. Dats lusahi yatir chad kasu mitzinasa azla. If I need, I'll put on an extra sweater. Amar le tishteze misharva. You should be saved from the beating sun. So then he said, "Hakido amar le hakido tslosa." This is a worthwhile prayer. The siv ein nistar mechamaso. So you see that. Rebbe said, that's a good bracha, that God shouldn't bring the... Antonina said to Rebbe, that's a good bracha. So, ein nistar mechamaso, which you appreciate the pun there.
Yeah.
It's not, it's plain.
Yeah.
What's the difference between those two words? They're not spelled the same. It would be chemaso. No, it wouldn't be. No, you're wrong. The standalone word is chema. But what's the difference between the two? You gotta know.
I'm sure, right?
What's that? Correct. It's like amasa. It's like amasa. That's okay. A broken clock tells twice time, right? Twice a day. It's the same, that famous comment about v'atishlach es amasa v'atikocheha. Unkla seems to have the girsa of amasa. Right, because he says v'oshetas yas amsa, and oshetas is used with the hand. Had she sent her amar, it would have been shlachas. Rashi notes that Rashi argues on that reading. Rashi, because in the Masoretic text is no dagish, so amasa as we have it chata patach under the aleph, no dagish in the mem, and it means ha'amar shalom. Amasa would have been patach under the aleph, dagish chazak in the mem, because the word amma has a dagish chazak in the mem, and it means ha'amar shalom, her arm. Okay. Same thing happens to work with this one as well. In fact, when you hear someone reading last week's parasha, not Hazinu, the previous week, Asher Hafach Hashem Be'apo, and if you someone says Uvichamaso, you correct it. He has to say Uvachamaso. Why? Vichamaso, a shot under the bays, indicates that's a patach under the ches. Not a chata patach under the ches. It's the chata under the ches, because you can't have two shvas in a row. That makes, Sam, do you ever do the thing or no? Is this a marker? Or this is really a marker.
Wrong side,
wrong
side. Oh, sorry.
So
is
it
Hamas Taninim Yinon?
Hold on, I'll give you that in a second.
Wait, which one?
Which
again?
Hold on. Okay. That is the correct reading. If someone read Uve Hamaso, that God turned over the Apo. Uvechamasa, what he would have been reading is in his anger and his son, his solar body. Because that's chama. Standalone, the word is chema versus chama. Okay? Same thing is true with amasa. There are two ways of spelling it. Okay, this one is her ama, her arm. And this one, which is the way the Masoretic text reads, is her maidservant. Right, the Medrash says, the Medrash is based upon the other reading. The Malach came that her maidservants wanted to stop her from saving Moshe, and the malach came down and struck them down, and so she, although the only one who could get the thing was her, and God made a miracle, and her arms, you know, stretched out many amos. Ein istar mechamaso, the pshat is, I'm sure I didn't check, but the Masoretic vocalization is chatapatach, no one can hide from God's anger. But the reading in the Medrash is, no one can hide from God's son.
Not sure. But it's talking about the son of that parent.
So that's parent. A great pun, but do you have a Tehillim here? Hold on. Is it Chamaso really?
Yes, it's talking about the son.
Is it the son?
That's the first thing we did in the documentary film.
Well, which what? No.
Second thing.
Hold on. How is it vocalized? Do you know?
I don't recall offhand, but I assume there's a.
We have page 261.
No, it is the son. It's also Moshe Shabbos.
That's a great pun, though. I never realized that. Yep, it is the sun. Okay, so this one actually is the sun. So that ruins the pun. That would be such a great pun if it were.
No, I mean you can make a pun on God's
on the other way. Correct. But, correct.
It still probably could be delivered pun
service. Right. Correct. So fine. So the pshat is the other way. Anyway, in Nitzavim it's uvach hamaso. Fine.
This is the first thing you say in so the first is where you add
On Shabbos. Yes. Jutes. So anyway, so he says to Rebbe, that's a worthwhile bracha. So what do you see? No one can hide from God's son. And if that's the case, it's bidei shamayim. So how could the Gemara say, tzinim pachim, akol bidei shamayim chutz mi tzinim upachim? So what's Tosus, what is the answer? Tosus says, v'yish lomar, v'kroksiv oved rachim obu b'chama, so Tosus understood already. Stone houses are cooler, and if you go in the basement, it's cooler. That's the basic. That's the principle of what they call what's the term? There's a new kind of heat. What's it called? It's not geothermal. It's when they cycle the water down, you know, 50 feet underground, where it's a constant temperature. And you know what this is? It geothermal? Either geothermal like hot springs. Whatever. So there's a. Yeah, the way it's much more efficient, but it's expensive to dig. No, it's a way of heating a house and cooling a house. Is that the temp? Once you go like 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 feet on the ground, temperature is constant year round. So if you cycle the water down there, right, then you bring the water back up, you have a cooling or heating. In other words, it's also much easier to get. They use this in Florida, like air conditioning in Florida is heating in Florida. Excuse me, is much cheaper, something like that, because you have if you only need a certain number of degrees to move a certain number of degrees, a small number, then they're much more efficient heat pumps. You should know this, from physics. Much more efficient processes of doing it. So I think that's the same principle here, that you have a constant temperature source in the ground to either heat or cool the house, and basically. Aren't you a physics major?
True. I don't know how to. I'm not like a gun engineer.
Aren't you a physics major?
No, what you're saying is true, actually, correct, but I never read research into this. Like,
what use are you? Okay.
I can pretend like I know what I'm talking about.
So, anyway, so that's the idea. So, I forget what they call this type. But bottom line is that you go underground, it's cooler in the summer and it's warmer in the winter, right? In other words, if your heat is broken or your air conditioning is broken, you know, in whichever season it is, you're best off in the basement. Okay. So anyway, Satosa says that that if you're in war or you have to travel, so then tzin and pachem amidei shamayim. But if you're at home, tzin and pachem are in your control. Okay, so then Tosa says, v'yesh mevarshim the tzin and pachem chad demilsi klamar tzinim shem pachem la'adam l'shom pachem mokesh v'eino kein can't be even though that is pshat in fact. It's not the way Chazal are reading the perikam of the mesach sabad zara ma'isi la'hadach siva tehsa dam kidgayam ma'dagim shabiyam. Okay, and the Gemara there quotes this. I think they quote that, right? Right. So that's the riot. Now, the really only part of Tosis that really interested me was the last line. I could have skipped here, but V'ha de'amar ha'kol bidei shamayim chutz mi'ira shamayim eino inyan lekan. Right, the Gemara said ha'kol bidei shamayim chutz mi'tzinu v'pachim. That's a very, if you know the other Maimer of Chazal, it's a big letdown. Chutz mi'tzinu v'pachim. We say that everything that people, you have no control over who you are, whether you're tall, whether you're short, whether you're handsome, whether you're not handsome, whether you're skinny, whether you're not skinny, whether you're smart, whether you're not smart. Yiras Shamayim is the one thing you have control. You should never be mekane someone for something that's sort of basically inborn for them. You should never be mekane them because that's not a credit to them. If a person is smart, it doesn't mean that they're a better person or they're worth more. In fact, sometimes people who are not as smart are much greater people because they've worked much harder to achieve what they've achieved. This one quality that a person can always take comfort in fostering oneself and working on, and that's Yiras Shamayim, being an ethical person, being a Shomer Torah Mitzvos, you know, really being a God-fearer. And a God-fearer when nobody else is looking. So that's really the one quality. It's the one quality everybody really has a choice. That's how Kobi De Shamayim puts me Yiras Shamayim.
Isn't that kind of like
So firstly, part of it, a Tinuk Shenishba is not a Russia. Yerushamayim doesn't refer to your knowledge of halacha and thereby observance. Yerushamayim refers to when you know that something is right and wrong. The definition of Yerushamayim is what you do when nobody is looking. That's with the real Yiras Shamayim. That's the real test. That was what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to his students on his deathbed, that your Yiras Shamayim should be equal to your Yiras Basar V'Dam. And they said, that's it? And he said, when a person thinks they're about to sin, what they say is, does anybody else see me? They don't say, does God see me? But that, the quintessential definition of real Yiras Shamayim, is what you do when no one else is looking. So that's true for someone who's even a Tinuk Shenishba. He may not know that X, Y, and Z is Asar, but to the extent that he has a sense of what it means to be ethical. So when he does that, even when nobody is looking, when he could cheat on his taxes, but he doesn't because he could, there's income that no way the IRS could possibly trace, but he reports it anyway, that's a Yiras Shamayim, and that can be a Tinuk Shenishba also. There's no one saying that you don't have firstly, you can have Yiras Shamayim in front of people who you don't care about, or you don't think, or you don't realize, right? And it's public, but you don't really, you know, it's not a big deal. I'm not saying it's only Seisir, but the real test. So a person who does the right thing and always does the right thing, v'seisir v'agaloi, so Tinuk Shenishba doesn't know everything that's right or what's wrong in terms of halacha, but what he knows, so. So Tosa says that eino inyan lekan, it's a totally different issue. The hasam koy alav lad b'mei ima shagozi mei ani o ashu gibor chalash tipesh o chacham al tzadik v'rasha lo. That's the point of the Gemara. V'hacham ayri v'moro sabo salatam. Things that happen to a person, the things that you can prevent, the things that you can't prevent. You know, there are ways of, you know, basically what Tosis is saying is that there are ways that you can be careful not to earn a Darwin Award. That's basically what it boils down to.
I thought Kobe the Shana Pusmi Shrine was like this super.
It's not. Adarabah, it's quite the opposite. It's a statement to Bechira Chafshis.
I was saying that, like, you can't control what's going to happen to you, but just be God fearing throughout.
Okay, that's not determinism. Determinism is about if you talk about Calvinism as a deterministic, you know, version of Christianity, that means that you're destined to burn in purgatory or go to heaven. At the outset,
you control your goral and olam haba, but you can't control whether or not you're going to get hit by a car or not or something like that.
But that's true.
Yeah,
we knew that already, right? That's not a chiddush. Nobody tried. Most people don't try to get hit by cars.
Yeah.
Some people do stupid things, like if you jaywalk in the middle of a busy New York City street. Right? No, then, yeah.
I thought I was thinking there's no randomness in the world.
No, these are about, if you look at the Gemara, these are about personal qualities.
Yeah,
it's not about Ma'oros either. This Gemara is about the degree of, I don't know if you want to call randomness, but out of your control. It's not the same thing. Right? Now, it's not a statement of randomness. That's a statement of Bechira Chafshis, the Gemara in Sota, that Tosis is quoting. This is a statement of your inability, you know, to control your fate in a certain sense, in terms of, you know, physical safety, that there's a limit to what you can do. Right? As Tosis says, you can do stupid things at the beginning. You can work under, you know, the leaning walls, you can do stupid things to endanger yourself, but even if you decide to be careful, there's a limit to what you can control. Okay. Fine. All right, let's read one more Tosis quickly, so we can. This is an interesting Tosis. We did the top one, so this will fit, complete our sugya for the day. Miyom shachar beis hamikdash. From Tomar, my lo nokach mem shana kodem shachar beis hamikdash. I've mentioned this in other contexts before. The Sanhedrin HaGadol ceased to function as a Sanhedrin HaGadol 40 years before the Korban, when they intentionally exiled themselves from the Lishkas HaGazis, and the reason was because they couldn't deal with all the rampant murder in society, and they didn't want to be held responsible for it. So, therefore, they were gola from Lishkas HaGazis, where they were no longer able to administer capital punishment.
So that seems like giving up.
It seems like a terrible...
It's an excellent question, Chaim, and the answer to the question is that sometimes it's, look, if you ask me, you know, without even identifying whom I voted for in the last election, you know, two years ago? 12?
12.
Right? So the answer is, I voted for the less bad of the two candidates, which very often has been the case. Right, the lesser of the two evils. Right? So now there you asked me, it's better, clearly, to walk into the voting booth, assuming your vote has an effect. And for those who know what happened in the TNEC elections a year ago, not national, but in town council, everybody's vote did matter because somebody lost by 50 votes. So if you ask me, it's clearly, even if you have to hold your nose, go in and pull the lever on the lesser of the two candidates. But it could be that when you're in a position of power and you can't properly do the job, it's better to resign than to stay in power, even if in theory the consequences are worse before, because one of them is in effect the responsibility of your actions or inactions. So in a sense, you could have asked the question differently, Chaim. If they were the Sanhedrin, why would they be potter b'dinei shamayim if after all they could have stayed? What, because I remove myself from the bench and then I don't kill the murderers, I'm better than if I just stayed on the bench and then kill the murderers? The answer is sometimes yes. Sometimes the mere farce of being there, of staying in the position of power, might be worse than simply resigning.
Were they actually head of power at that point?
Did they
have that little power at that point?
It seemed that, you know, you read Josephus, and it seems that bloodshed was really, really widespread. Right, the civil war, in effect, that already at some point is raging with zealots and other types of groups, things were pretty bad. You know, things that make, Harlem, you know, during the height of the crack epidemic, you know, in the late 80s, you know, looked like Shangri-La. You know, we don't realize how safe New York City was at its worst, you know, compared to what would Yerushalayim probably look like in the year 30. So Tosa says, if we're saying Batlu Mises Beis Din were Batlu when they exiled from the Lishkas HaGazis. So why do they say Miyom Shachar Beis HaMikdash? Why not Mem Shana Kodim Shachar Beis HaMikdash? So Tosa says, Ve'ishlom Adin Lefamim the Tzor Shah Hayuchosun Sanhedrin Lishkas HaGazis. Now sometimes they would come back if they needed to. Ulahachi Lo Psika Lesnei. They were in recess almost all the time, but occasionally they came back. Ulahachi Lo Misnei. But then Tosa says, "In Tomar, in Kei, my parach beparakal yubodgin gabe masa, but the Kriyo Chanan Zakei b'psiteinim uparach mihal b'sanhedrin. V'atanya kol shlosav shor b'Kriyo Chanan Zakei me'av esrim shana mem osak b'prakmatche umem lamad umem limed. V'atanya mem shana kodem chorban golsa sanhedrin." So hashtra my kasha lay. So what was the Gemara? The Gemara's kasha was, how could Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakei have been bodek b'ukseiteinim if, after all, 40 years he engaged in business, 40 years he studied, he was a Talmud, and 40 years he taught. So, and the assumption I think is that the Arbaim Shana that he taught were after the destruction. And the Gemara's Kasha was that for 40 years before the Chorban, which was the last time that there was any Dina Nefashos, that was when he first left business and went to learn, where he might have been there. In fact, I think our Mishnah reads, Masa Ubadak Ben Zakai B'Ukseitanim. He was a Talmud Yoshalim Ne'rabim. So the question is, Tosa says, what's the Gemara's Kasha? If the Sanhedrin would occasionally come back to judge Dina Nefashos, so maybe Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakai was, in fact, sitting there as a time, you know, during that time period. Something like that. That's the gist of the question. So Tosa says, Mahashta Maikasha Le Kevin Del Fama Yuchosun Vedanim. So he says, Yeshloma, the Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakai, the Bada Puksaitena, Amasa the Ritzicha Haya, it was over murder. Umishim Dina Nefashos, the Ritzicha Lo Yuchosun La'olam. They would never have come back to do a murder case. Why? The Ikarim look, oh, let me show Metzicha, the Chassid and the Fishu Yisbrotzchim. The whole reason why they left the Lishkas HaGazis was because of the murder. So they might have been coming back to just a Chil Shabbos case, but not a murder case. Okay. Fine. Kedamrinam, B'Pesach HaPerakam, B'Pesach HaVadazar. Fine. V'yesh Mepharshim, those who want to say, the Lachinakat Mishachar Ben Samitash Mishum, The kodem l'kein afal pishagalu hayu big day kuna mechaper al meisit the lo asrbe kedarbinu peke yish barachin ve'inira dahay b'meishim ben shatach dahay b'meishim ben shatach hayu big day kuna v'yedin arba misa space the karmina me'echad dinay mamanos. A great story, some of you know that. Amr b'shim ben shatach erab ben achama melora isi echad sheratz achar chaver l'churva, and he saw the guy come, he walked in. He saw the guy dripping with a knife, standing over his friend. The knife was dripping blood, and his friend was writhing, dying. And he said, either you or I killed him, and we know who it is, but Torah says, "Al pi shnayim edim, you can't be done me umedana." That's what the din, the Gemara says. You can't judge from omed, and therefore I can't kill you, but the Kadosh Baruch Hu will take care of you. And then the snake came and bit him, and killed him. So Tosafot said, that story of Shimon ben Shetach, and the Gemara asks Akasha, that he's a Bar Nachash? He wasn't a Bar Nachash. What's the punishment for killing someone? No. Cherev. It's one of only two things that can cherev. That and Irani Dachas. V'hevesi aleichem cherev no kemes the kambris. And it says by an Eved Kanani whom you kill, and he dies within 24 hours, nakom yinakem. So just as no kemes the kambris is cherev, so too, you kill someone who kills an Eved, which is Ritzicha, gets cherev. And that in Irani Dachas, where it says Beferish Lefichare. So Tosa said, the Gemara asked the Gasha, why did a snake get the guy? He should have been killed by the sword. So and the Gemara quotes this thing that even though Mises based them were Batlu, didn't Mises based them weren't Batlu. So you see what that it's relevant even in a time where there were big day kahuna.
What does Gemara answer?
The Gemara said he did other averus too. That's what he got it for. So Vahatani Ribchiya Apal Pisha Badlu Sanatrin Son, the Ora Mamar Shamitse Resha, Vahasam Isman Shemate Mishnakameshakan Ayri Gamarinsa Zemes Vizagola. The other famous case of the guy falling, Mayor Shamitse Resha, is also Bisman Shemesa Mikdashkayim. So Dinar Bamisis were not Batlu. I guess the assumption of Tosis is that Golos is only when the Beis HaMikdash was around, and therefore the guy, you know the story, right? The one guy killed Bamezin and wasn't killed, and one guy killed Bashogeg wasn't Gola. So Kodesh Baruch Hu was Mazmin them. This is Vohelohim in Ali Yado in Parshas Mishpatim, which theologically, why would God do such a thing? The answer is Mer Shoyim Yetziresha. The guy who killed Bashogeg didn't go to Ari Miklat, is climbing on the ladder, and the guy who killed Bamezid and walking underneath, the guy on top of the ladder falls down and kills him, and he has to go to Ari Miklat, and the other guy gets killed. So, I'm sorry, it is Ari Bizman Shirishkaim because it's Godless, and yet you still have Arba Mises, Din Arba Mises based in, not just Mises based in, and yet you had the big day Kohen Gadol. So that's what Tosa says. It has to be the first answer. There's another kasha, though, which is that Shimon ben Shetach was a time when there was Mises space, and I guess in that case they couldn't give it to him. That's why. Okay, because there weren't any. Fine, and we read the last Tosa's relevant here. The first part I skipped over, but we asked the Odyssey question. Fine, so that's this little piece. So up in terms of going forward, what we want to be thinking about is Abaye understood that anything that's bidei shemayim, accidents that happen bidei shemayim that might kill a person, so that ason is included in mason yevan asatan nefesh tachas nefesh, that there's no mamon, that you suffice with the misa bidei shemayim. Okay, and then tomorrow we'll resume with Rava. All right.